As Congress returns to Washington, economists fret about whether lawmakers will allow the nation to default on its debt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, Republicans take over the House this week, and economists are worried about what it'll take to get lawmakers to raise the nation's debt ceiling and keep Washington paying its bills. But first, where's Wall Street? Good start to the year so far. The Dow is up 115 points at 11,693. The Nasdaq up about 1.3%, and the S&P 500 up just a little more than 1% this morning. Facebook is getting a $500 million investment from Goldman Sachs. According to the New York Times, the deal will make Facebook worth about $50 billion and could increase pressure on the company to go public. Now to the economic side of a political story. Yesterday on ABC's political talk show This Week, Obama administration economic advisor Austin Goolsbee warned Congress not to play chicken, in his words, with the nation's debt ceiling. It's currently $14.3 trillion and it'll need to be raised in a couple months to keep the country from going into default. Here's Mr. Goolsbee.
If we hit the debt ceiling, that's essentially defaulting on our obligations, which is totally unprecedented in American history. The impact on the economy would be catastrophic. I mean, that would be a worse financial and economic crisis than anything we saw in 2008.
Well, let's get an economist's point of view now with Julia Coronado. She's chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she joins us now live. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So is there any chance that Congress would actually do what Austin Goolsbee was talking about and not raise the nation's debt ceiling?
There is literally no chance that they'll not pass the debt ceiling and enter into the sort of catastrophic scenario that Mr. Goolsbee painted. However, the real question, and one that we were certainly tossing around at our morning meeting this morning, is how much of a concession will Republicans demand in order to raise the debt ceiling? How much deficit reduction will they want to see? And how much of that deficit reduction will be near-term cuts to spending versus longer-term measures to bring in the deficit?
And that kind of demanding, that those cuts that they would want could really impact the recovery, you think?
Absolutely. So we saw at the end of the year that Congress passed a fiscal package that would help the economy by putting more money into consumers' pockets. Now the question is how much of that will be unwound by cuts to government spending and other programs that do, in fact, flow into the economy and help economic growth. So there does seem to be a big push by Republicans to cut spending in the near term. And the question is how much and how much of an impact will that then have on GDP?
And Julia, just quickly, I mean, how much are we relying right now on government support for this nascent recovery in the economy?
Well, it's been a pretty significant source of support, both from the federal government and from the Federal Reserve. In fact, it probably gave the economy more than half of the growth that we saw last year. So looking forward, we're not going to get much of a contribution from either the federal government or the Fed in 2011. So the private sector really is going to carry all of the burden, and that's a big change from where we've been. So we really need to see some stronger contribution, stronger hiring in particular, coming from the private sector.
All right. Julia Coronado, chief economist at BNP Paribas. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
Well, later this week, we'll get the first big employment report of the new year from the Labor Department. It'll tell us what the unemployment rate was in December. In November, it was 9.8%. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has been covering the labor market for us, and he joins us now with a look at the big picture. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
So a year ago at this time, things were pretty bleak. You've been tracking the job market since then. How far have we come?
Jeremy, you know, compared to last year, pretty far. The unemployment rate remains high, it's true. But instead of cutting jobs like they were last year, private employers have been adding them, maybe 100,000 a month on average. That is enough to absorb new workers, high school and college grads, moms and dads coming off parental leave. The problem is it's not nearly enough to give jobs back to the 8 million Americans who got laid off. Many of these people are still unemployed. The time it takes to find a new job is near record highs. So unless we start getting two or three times more jobs added every month, unemployment is going to remain high all year.
But Mitchell, we've been getting some good news from companies recently. Their profits are higher. Consumers have started to spend a little bit more. Couldn't that translate into some good news for the job market?
That's really our best hope. Economist Karen Dinan at the Brookings Institution spun out the best case scenario for me.
I think what people are looking for is for the pickup in spending to kickstart hiring. And if it does, it has the potential to unleash a virtuous cycle, really. If we see more job growth, we would see incomes pick up. That would make the higher rate of spending growth sustainable, which in turn would lead to yet more hiring.
Sounds like a pretty good virtuous cycle, Mitchell. But what could throw that off track, if anything?
Any number of things. Gas prices, for instance, they've been going up.
Yep.
That could spook consumers. And for businesses, even if they are selling more now, they could just cope the same way they've been coping. They get their people to work harder, work longer hours, they hire more temps
right,
without making those people permanent. That's great for their bottom line, not so great for the long-term unemployed, and not great for the economy as a whole. In fact, the unemployment rate's now at 9.8%. Most economists expect it to still be around 9% next January.
Well, we'll see if that prediction comes true. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And finally, a man in Spain had a good start to the year. He won $12 million in the lottery, except he threw the ticket in the garbage. So he went down to the neighborhood dumpster and found it, as well as a good life lesson. Don't throw winning lottery tickets in the trash. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
In the fight against online retailers, campus bookstores are selling a lot more than instructional materials.
The margins are much better on the hoodies and the sweatshirts and the shot glasses.
I'm Bob Moon. College stores become one-stop shopping destinations. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.